WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump said today a meeting with Russian officials will take place tomorrow, and afterwards he'll make a decision on whether to sanction countries that buy Russian oil.
Well, I never said a percentage, but we'll be doing quite a bit of that. We'll see what happens over the next fairly short period of time.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is said to be considering widening the war in Gaza. Protesters today demanded an end to the war and the return of hostages. They blocked a main highway in Tel Aviv. The UN warned an expanded war risks catastrophic consequences. The House Oversight Committee wants to question former officials about the Jeffrey Epstein case. Here's Erica Brown.
It is seeking depositions from former President Bill Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and eight former top law enforcement officials.
London authorities now say Ozzy Osbourne's cause of death was a heart attack. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, you know, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer where we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness, because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI radio stations.
A Brewers win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers face the Braves again tonight after winning last night 3-1. Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Starting pitcher Quinn Priester going 7 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been sensational. I was kind of thinking today in about the 5th inning. This kid kind of represents who we are. Nobody knew who Quinn Priester was, and now they do. It's just amazing to see the kid just flourish the way he is.
NFL Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs is out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. GM Brian Gutekunst on why he signed Hobbs from the Raiders to a 4-year deal worth $48 million.
Yeah, we're trying to become a certain kind of football team that can win and win, you know, deep into the playoffs. And there's a certain kind of a physicality that you have to have. And Nate Hobbs brings all that, and that's why we brought him here.
The team has re-signed defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was released by the Colts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, lows upper 50s to 60. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. Highs climb to the mid-80s. Storm chances gradually increase later Wednesday night and on into Thursday. Currently 81 degrees.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics of Fusion Voting.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Great to have you. We are kicking off this Tuesday night show with this public service announcement. Conrad and I have found a way to coexist, even though the Cubs and the Brewers, I don't know if I'd say they're neck and neck. What are the Brewers up, three games now?
Three games, yep. Yeah. And going to be four tonight.
And I might have been wrong. I said I don't think they're going to be able to keep this pace. And they probably won't be, but if they get ahead enough, they can still kind of slide a little bit and still have...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, the sweep against the Nationals was big.
Yeah, that was huge.
And now they won against the Braves last night. So hoping for another one tonight.
Do they play the Cubs again? I think they do.
Yeah,
they,
do. They do. I'm pretty sure they do. Probably in Chicago this time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I had a great drive down here tonight, I have to say. Although I did see... You know what freaks me out a little bit is when, you know, we don't really get political on this show very often. Once in a while, I say something, I slip up, but I saw a sign in a window that said, F this political candidate, and it's a former president. I'm like, I think the people that are willing to put the F word on their car about I may disagree with people. I would never put that on my car.
No.
It kind of freaks me out a little bit. It's kind of like they don't care. They're completely loose cannons. If you're willing to say that, like there's no civility, I guess. I don't know.
You know, I personally don't put anything on my car.
Right. Not even a baby on board?
Not a baby on board. Nothing like that. Like, remember what I was saying, when it was a person that said driving or a person who's learning to drive.
Oh, yeah, student driver.
Student driver, yeah. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. It's a student driver, and it definitely was not a student driver because there was no one else in the car besides one person.
Oh, they're just trying to get all the benefits or whatever?
Yeah, they're like, all right, we got to give him a break. It's a student driver.
Driving in the handicapped lane.
But no, I started honking at him.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's very unlike you. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It kind of threw me. I'm like, wow, that says a lot. Like, And you know, people on both sides do it. I would say it's more on one side, but I have seen it on other sides. And I don't know that I'd wear my outrage on my sleeve like that. But that's just me.
Do you remember the one that I showed you yesterday?
I don't know.
The bumper sticker on the window?
Yeah, what was it again?
Hot girls hit curbs. I wish I could have seen the wheels for the tire rash or the rim red, but like...
I love
that's
when
a, that's a great one.
When I was in a drive-thru about 2 years ago, I saw one of those bumper stickers that said, how's my driving? Dial 1-800-EAT-BLANK. And this car was beat to hell.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
Your driving sucks, obviously. Or you bought this car who the last person's driving, the owners sucked. Very funny stuff. Tom from New Berlin already chiming in. Love this. He's in the 414. He says Cubs and Brewers play 5 more games.
There we go. Okay. All in Chicago.
All in Chicago. So we'll have some fun with this as it gets a little closer. And Mike Clemens will be here on Friday. We'll talk to Mike about some Brewers and Cubs stuff, mostly Brewers, as we are here in Wisconsin. So you like their chances. They're playing pretty well.
It's World Series or bust, you know?
Wow. And you know what? It would be fun to see, especially after the, you know, Sean and Kelly's documentary. Sean Hatch and Kelly Calls documentary Just a Bit Outside. Because that just came out in the spring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before this year started. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. No, that, yeah. That, you know, and I'm looking forward to the Brewers in the playoffs. Because, you know, Wisconsin football, I learned today that they have a pretty tough schedule.
Do they?
In October, they face Michigan. Then it's off to Iowa. Then it's to Ohio State. And then it's to Oregon.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, and we still have to face Alabama, too.
Oh, that's this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. And so it's going to be a tough year for the Badgers, I think.
Well, it's a tough year for the Badgers. We're going to have a great night here at Nightlight, folks, because we have two great guests. We got a good, fun question we can have a good time with. And we got a, what is this text I got from Zomers?
It's about the cookie dough.
Now that this is from Aaron Zomers. Occasional Nightlight producer and producer of the Todd Alba Show. He says, now that I've actually listened to it, I agree with you and Pete. Expensive edible cookie dough is very stupid. It's very stupid. There's this cookie dough place that opened up a few years ago back in Appleton on College Ave, and it's like $7 for a couple little scoops of what tastes like diabetes. It's offensive. It's a cookie dough just enough. It was a fun novelty like in the 80s, and somehow it's in everything now.
You know, I was at the store yesterday, and I was tempted to buy one of those containers and set it right where you're sitting at 5.
Well, do we have an oven here? We could make up some chocolate chip cookies.
We have a microwave.
The Midwest Express Airlines of radio. When guests come into the studio, they'll smell chocolate chip cookies. Now, there you go.
Actually, that's a good idea for an air freshener.
Yeah, that is. And I'll get Tony Shalhoub on the show. I understand he likes chocolate chip cookies. Great guest tonight. Fun question. Great to have you with us, folks. This is Nightlight on a Tuesday edition of Nightlight. I say Tuesday has a feel. Did you stick with Seinfeld?
I was watching, last night I started watching the Spider-Mans again.
Really?
Yeah. Cause I saw the little snippet that of Tom Holland. In his new get up.
Okay.
And it got me excited, so I started watching it again.
All right. That's good. I stick with Seinfeld, though. The season, I forgot. I told you season 2 kind of limps along, too. It doesn't. It gets right into it. And George gets a massage from a man, and it's hilarious. And all those season 2 episodes are great, so I think you should go back to it. And what made me think of that was because Newman says Tuesday has no feel, and Kramer says, I feel Tuesday. So, but we have a great show tonight, folks. Local Northeast Wisconsin musician and photographer and founder of Chicken and Egg Photography, Chris Rogowski, will be here in studio. We'll talk to Chris about his game and what he does. He's a musician and takes pictures of bands. He's been working on Mile of Music. I'm excited to meet Chris and have him in the studio. And then at 7:20, our pal, Madison film critic Rob Thomas, joins the show to talk about what is still to come at the box office this summer. It's been a great summer for the box office. Way ahead of last year, about 15%, I think. Not quite up to pre-COVID numbers, but we are on the upswing, and I think people are going back to the theater, and that's exciting, despite the fact that I was one of two people at Naked Gun yesterday here in Green Bay. Despite all that, the box office seems to be coming back. We'll talk with Rob about that, and he is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, and they have some really cool stuff. He did this thing about strip mall bars, and he's like, why are they so cool? And I'm curious to ask him about that, because I typically prefer a corner tavern as opposed to a strip mall bar. Not to say I haven't been in strip mall bars that I liked, but I like a standalone corner tavern, ideally. Yeah.
You know, have you been to Bayshore, the mall in Glendale?
Yeah.
So when I used to work at the Champs that's in the Bayshore there.
Okay.
And across, right in the middle, where they have a little, like, picnic kind of area, they had a bar in there, and it was so tempting every day. I had to walk past it.
Not to have a couple of pops.
To go to my car, to go to work, and, yeah, I was always tempted to But yeah, it was like, you know, it's in the strip mall.
Yeah.
But it always looks so nice because around it, it's some tiki, you know, setups sure. and stuff like that. So it was, it looked nice.
Once you get inside, a bar is a bar. But it's yeah. just, I do love the idea of walking to the corner, a brick building, stepping up two steps, you're in the bar. But, you know, hey, a good bar is a good bar. We'll talk to Rob about that at 7:20. And he saw this new movie, Sketch, I'm excited to talk to him about as well. So two great guests. And I think without further ado, we should get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right. It's National Fresh Breath Day. So our question tonight is, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on X, YouTube, or Facebook, you can drop us a comment in the stream. Always fun to hear from you guys, and we will read your thoughts on the radio. Phone lines are open. Let us know. As usual, you know you can comment on anything we're talking about throughout the course of the show. This is Nightlight, folks. We're here for you. So I thought about this. My buddy Todd Glass, who I got to get on the show, was on Last Comic Standing, and he said his girlfriend one time told him, tell your neighbor he has bad breath. He goes, how am I supposed to do that? I was going, hey, Alan, is your ass backed up? He goes, what do you think 50 Tic Tacs taste like? Like, I mean, there is no way, no one ever tells people they have bad breath. But, and there's certain kinds of bad breath, it's that, you know, like really old people get that halitosis where yeah. it can permeate the whole room. And it's like, oh, God, I'm going to faint. It's such bad breath. And listen, I do intermittent fasting. That can give you bad breath. I'm not saying I never have bad breath. My wife hasn't kissed me in 14 years. I'm guessing that's a clue. Oh. Give or take 7 years. I'm kidding. But, you know, like there's all like garlic breath is considered to be terrible. I don't mind garlic breath. I love knowing someone just ate garlic because I love garlic. Their breath doesn't really bother me ever.
Do you like, can I get a whiff?
What do you mean? Do I say that to people?
Oh, you just had garlic? Can I get a whiff?
Yeah. Do you mind if I lean in? But I don't, and there was also COVID. During COVID, you know, everybody had masks on, so you didn't really smell people's breath. But I know that during COVID, I didn't shower nearly as much as I usually do. I was at home all the time. I was like, you know, and I slacked off brushing my teeth. I was a little depressed during COVID. So what's the longest you think you've ever gone without brushing your teeth?
Oh, I don't. During COVID, probably I let it go a little bit.
Days? Weeks?
Probably days. I don't think weeks. Because it was, I mean, when I was younger, probably a little longer because yeah. I didn't care as much.
Okay.
But I would say during COVID,
that doesn't
you know,
count when you're a kid.
During COVID, like, yeah I'd, all that hygiene stuff didn't really matter to me.
Yeah, you threw it out. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. My family, I'm cramped in this house with these people all the time. I almost want to smell bad to put them through this because they're driving me crazy.
So they can go in the other room.
Exactly. So that's our question, folks. And like I said, onion breath, on the other hand, is pretty bad. But garlic breath doesn't bother me.
It's kind of the same thing to me. That's both. I'm like, all right, you can go away from me.
Yeah. It's National Fresh Breath Day, folks. What is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Would you? Would you not? Would you hint at it? What would you do? I've stepped back a few times and someone comes up, kind of gets in your grill and starts talking to you and you just kind of do one of these where you move back a little bit, hoping they get the point.
You know, I have just the desire to make them smell better. So I like, you want some gum?
You offer them something?
I give them gum or breath mints. And it's not like I'll just be like, hey, you want one? Not like, your breath stinks. Here, take this.
Right.
Like, do you want one? I'm offering. And usually they're like, well, I won't say no gum, I guess.
Yeah, but most of the time they don't. Sometimes people will make a joke and say, what, are you trying to tell me something? Well, yeah. You don't say that, but
well,
it's
no,
like, please
no,
take the gum.
No, no.
But so there you go. Let us know. How would you do it? Would you be subtle? Would you tell them? Would you just grin and bear it and sit there with your eyes tearing up? That's our question of the night. Lots of fun tonight, folks. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a new show I'm watching that I am really into now. It has won me over. You may have already guessed it if you listen every night, but I'm going to tell you anyway and let us know what your answer is to our question of the night. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters Baseball here on WFHR.
Welcome into the Rafters pregame show here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, and the Rafters getting ready to take on the Green Bay Rockers for one final time this season here in Green Bay. And at Capital Credit Union Park, the Rafters are hoping for the strong play to continue. However, last night did not go the Rafters' way, and trying to avoid three straight losses, the Rafters are hoping that that close right field wall will work in their favor today. Yesterday, it certainly worked in the Rockers' favor. They hit four home runs in the game, three of them to right field. The other one, though, an absolute rocket from David Bionilla over the left field wall. It was a 9-6 Rockers victory. They led 9-0 at one point, though, and six unanswered runs at the end of the game. The Rafters actually brought the tying runner to the plate in the ninth inning, but well, they weren't able to finish it off as the final score was 9-6, even though the Rafters bullpen allowed just two runs. And with that, the pitching matchup for today, Tristan Krusenberry and KJ Ward for the two teams, hoping to lock things down from the starting position, unlike yesterday. But quick break here, and when we come back, it's time for Rafters Baseball and the pregame interview on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR. Work.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Timeout.
All right. Remember.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me on the show, it's Easton Zempel. And Easton, a couple of games for you now, a couple of appearances on the mound in the Northwoods League, and some pretty good results so far. How's it felt for you up on the mound?
Pretty good. It's a lot bigger of a environment than I'm used to, but I just try not to think about it as much, and I mean, we're all here for a reason. I just went out there, just felt comfortable, decided to do what I always do, and came out with some pretty good results, like you said. Yeah, so I mean, just gonna continue to keep doing that throughout the rest of the season and see how it goes.
Yeah, well, looking forward to seeing it. You know, talking specifically about yesterday's game, you got yourself into a situation. I'm going to start off with the rough part to get it out of the way. Obviously, you know, first three batters didn't go your way, a double, then you got the next one out, but then you allowed the two-run home run. But after that point in time, you really fought back, and I think you allowed maybe one more base runner since that point in time and didn't walk anyone throughout the game. I think that's really impressive for you to be able to battle back, especially in a game that's so mentally challenging. How do you stay strong up there on the mound and not let that get to you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I try to stay calm and collected when I'm out there. Usually I have some problems with being in my head, but I mean, I feel like it was just pretty simple. As in the first inning, I was just leaving my pitches up, and that just gave them the opportunity to hit the crap out of the ball, honestly. But that happens. I knew what I was doing wrong. Did my best to keep the ball low, mix up pitches, just make them hit into outs. Because I know for a fact I'm not the hardest thrower here. That's for a fact. So I really try using my off-speed in advantage to get these batters out.
Well, it certainly looked good, and obviously putting the ball into play, a key thing to help get outs, not necessarily going to be the strikeouts. And that's been something that a lot of the other pitchers have told me as well. And, you know Kenny Schultz coming from UWSP, and he's another guy that early in the season, you probably heard the story, started off as an intern and then went into the Rafters bullpen for his first game after signing the contract, and the key was that he could find the strike zone. Is that part of the thing that the coaches kind of looked at you when they brought you on the team? They said, okay, you can find the strike zone, that's why we want to bring you aboard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like we've said, just finding the strike zone is key. Obviously, we want to limit the amount of base runners we have, and walking, obviously, is not what we want. So, just finding the strike zone. I know Kenny's been doing a great job of that, but, just make them hit into outs. Make them earn their way on. Don't give them those free passes. That's a big thing throughout pretty much all of baseball.
Well, I mentioned your time at UWSP, and obviously that was just this past season for you. You've spent time at a couple of different colleges as well, and so you've gotten a little bit of experience kind of everywhere, but you haven't had a season where you've gone more than 20 innings pitched yet. Mm-hmm. So trying to kind of work up those reps, is that part of the reason why you wanted to get into the Northwoods League, just to get more experience and keep working up that experience so that you can become more of a veteran?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, throughout all my childhood, I lived in Madison. I was always going to Mallard's game, and it was just a dream of mine to play in the Northwoods. I mean, just after the games, going, getting their autograph signed. I mean, so once Kenny reached out and he told me that the opportunity was there, I took advantage of it right away. And back to what you said, yes, absolutely. I've had a little bit of arm issues throughout the last few years. I feel like that's why innings have been quite low, but throughout this last season, my arm's been doing a lot better, obviously health-wise. So I'm looking forward to next season, and I definitely do feel like the Northwoods is helping me out a lot with that.
Well, it seems like you're getting in the right step in the right direction here. Now, you mentioned it a little bit when you were talking about going to Northwoods League games earlier. Do you remember any key signatures that you got, any great ones that you were able to find?
Oh, God. I can't remember exactly. I mean, I did come to a few Rafters games as well when I lived in Stevens Point before high school. I can't recall exactly what some of the signatures were. I know it sucks, but
oh man.
I wish I could know if I went to any games that Pete Alonso was playing for the Mallards. I feel like that's the biggest one that comes to my mind. But yeah, honestly, I wish I did, but unfortunately, I do not.
Hey, you know what? That's all right. You get to play against some top competition now, and you get to hang that in your banners.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love this competition. It's great. I have always been competitive growing up, and I feel like this is just a great opportunity for me. It challenges me, makes me work harder than I ever have before, and I absolutely love that.
Well, that's all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add?
Go Rafters.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Once again, that was Easton Zempel joining us on Rafters pregame show. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, it's time for starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The starting pitcher for the Green Bay Rockers is KJ Ward, who is warming up on the mound, getting ready for first pitch here from Capital Credit Union Park. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Rafters Baseball on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. I'm Austin Thomas, your play-by-play broadcaster, and the Rafters looking to get back on track, but going to have a tough matchup with the Rockers pitching staff, who everyone, it seems like, is pitching well, but most especially their starter today, KJ Ward, maybe not quite as well as the pitcher who we saw start yesterday's game, Steve Marhefke, who went 6 shutout innings. But KJ Ward has gone 3 innings in each of his last 4 appearances and allowed no more than 1 run in any of those 4 appearances. He's got a 2.25 ERA over 12 innings pitched. And on the Rafters side of things, it's Tristan Krusenberry, the right-hander on the mound, who comes from Campbellsville University. It's his 8th start of the season, and last time out, a very good start for him. He allowed just 1 earned run over 5 innings pitched. And you look at his last 5 appearances, only one of them has really been a rough appearance, and that was 2 games ago against the Wausau Woodchucks, and the Woodchucks, one of the best offenses in the Northwoods League. The Rafters getting ready to go. Hiroto Kobayashi leads things off here in Green Bay. It's Kobayashi followed by Kareem Arusevic and Jake Beauchesne due up in the top of the first. Ward getting set on the mound and ready to fire, and he brings the leg up, fires home, first pitch outside for ball number 1. 1-0 the count. First pitch time, 6:34 p.m., so a minute early start time. And, hey, that never hurt anyone. And Ward ready to fire again against Kobayashi. 1-0 the count. Righty-righty matchup for the leadoff man, and that one upstairs for ball number two. 2-0 the count, and Kobayashi talked to him a little bit before the game, and he was ready to go for this one. He seemed excited for this pitcher. KJ Ward, he has some good stuff. He throws mid-90s on his fastball and trying to show off that speed. He is a 6'6" right-handed pitcher, so able to generate plenty of power, and gets a swing and a miss for strike number one on Kobayashi. Now a 2-1 count. Behind the top three in the order for the Rafters, it's Matt Inako, Landon Gaz, and Peyton Bryant, who bat 4-6 in the lineup. 2-1 count to Kobayashi, and Ward delivers. Kobayashi holds off. It misses outside for ball number three. 3-1 the count. And finishing off the Rafters lineup, it's River Lindsay, Christian Bermudez, and Mike Monum. They bat 7-9, and with that, time is taken as home plate umpire steps out to the side and make sure that we're all good to go. The sun already down behind the back of the stadium, casting shadows over the field, although the outfield is still sunny as the 3-1 count misses outside, and the leadoff walk to Hiroto Kobayashi. He gets on base again and continues to do so. He's been real good over these last five games, a .444 on base percentage. Batting .318 over that stretch as well, and man, Hiroto Kobayashi really turned a corner here, and you love to see it for a guy that's been here all season long. Actually, more than that, he was here over a couple weeks before the season began. Brings up Kareem Arusevic with a man on first and nobody out in the top of the first. Still knotted at zero. First pitch to Arusevic in the turf for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and here at Capital Credit Union Park, it's an entirely turf field all the way out to right field, left field, and center field. Even the mound is turf. They've got an off-colored warning track around the outside of the stadium, though. 1-0 count to Arusevic. In there called for strike number one. Now a 1-1 count. The infield where the dirt would be is a slightly lighter shade of green, except around the bases where they have a brown, dark-shaded turf. Runner taking off from first, but Arusevic fouls it back. It's now a 1-2 count. At first pitch, 78 degrees and sunny here in Green Bay. 8-mile-an-hour winds with 13-mile-an-hour gusts coming from the east-southeast. So the flags blowing from right to left field. The wind works in favor of righties, but the dimensions work in favor of lefties. Arusevic likes this park. He had a multi-home run game here earlier in the season. 1-2 count taken for ball number two. Now 2-2 the count. Although you look back at last game for Arusevic, and it wasn't his best game, although he did pick up a single. He went just 1-for-5. Had one strikeout in the game as well. Looking to turn it around. 2-2 the count. Kobayashi still on first base. And the pitch on the way home, ripped out towards center field on a line, and the center fielder able to grab it out of the air. Zage Lancaster out there, and that takes care of the first out of the first inning. A line out from Kareem Arusevic brings up Jake Beauchesne to the plate with a man on first, and the score still 0-0. Beauchesne, the right-handed hitting center fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and KJ Ward. And I mentioned the dimensions. Out to right field, it is about 250 feet to that foul pole, although the wall about 20 feet tall, so a little more difficult, but still relatively easy to get a ball out of here. Pitch on the way home to Beauchesne is low, called for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Out toward left field, it's about 340 to the left field foul pole, and then dead center, 386, but off to left center field, it's about 400. Kobayashi taking off. This one's laced down the left field line. Kobayashi's going to easily make it to third. We'll see if he tries to turn for home. No, he'll stay there, but Beauchesne is into second base, and a big-time double from Jake Beauchesne puts runners on second and third with only one out in the top of the first. The Rafters a key opportunity to drive in the first run of the game, and it brings up Madden Akko looking to do the damage. Akko, the right-handed hitting shortstop, he made his first appearance as a shortstop in the game yesterday. Back playing there defensively today and hoping to continue to play some strong defense. The Rafters had just one error in the game yesterday, and that came from the pitching position. First one on the way home to K.J. Ward. Grounded up the middle, past the diving Ward, over to second base, and it'll be a 4-3 putout, but an RBI as Kobayashi comes home to score on Matanaco's ground out. Takes care of the second out of the first inning, but the Rafters have taken the lead. It is 1-0 Wisconsin Rapids, and it brings up Landon Gaz to the plate with a man on third and two away. And Landon Gaz, right-handed hitting first baseman. Last couple of games for him have been a little bit of a struggle, but yesterday able to turn it around. First pitch from Ward, a fastball in at the bottom part of the zone for strike number one. 0-1 the count, and Gaz yesterday, 2-for-4. He also scored two runs, although he struck out one time. On the season, batting 271. Trying to keep his strong second half going. Pitch from K.J. Ward is outside. Nice stop behind the plate by Colin Helms. And Colin Helms, the catcher for the Rockers, with K.J. Ward on the mound. Over at first base, Aiden Cooney, who was playing in the outfield yesterday. At second, it's Kaysen Konzarenia. Third is Eric Gion, and short is Dorian Asher. Ward looking home for the call from Helms, and the pitch to Gaz, a tad bit outside. Now 2-1 the count. In the outfield for the Rockers, in left it's Peyton Mansfield, in center is Age Lancaster, who was the shortstop yesterday, and in right it's Jeremy DeLaMotta. That's a look at the Rafters the Rockers defensive alignment. Ward looking home with Gaz at the plate, 2-1 count, swing and a miss for strike number two. Now a 2-2 count, and Gaz looking to drive home RBI number 18 on the season. Jake Beauchesne still standing on third base, but needs a hit here in order to drive in the run. Two outs in the inning, 1-0. The Rafters already have the lead in the top of the first. Ward looking over to third base where Beauchesne stands. Now brings the leg up, fires home, but it's upstairs. Called for ball number three. 3-2 the count. And the Rafters here hoping to get some momentum prior to returning home tomorrow, where they will take on the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders. It's the regular season home finale, their final home game of the year. 3-2 count coming home. This one's hit high in the air out towards shallow right field. The infielder, second baseman, backing up, and it is caught by Kaysen Konzarenia for out number three. That takes care of the first inning, but the Rafters do score one run on the one hit. There were no errors, and the Rafters left one on base. We go to the bottom of the first. 1-0, Wisconsin Rapids has the lead here on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Rafters fans. Don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade.
Tristan Krusenberry is the man on the mound for the Rafters as we get back to work in the bottom of the first inning. First look at the Rafters pitching staff and their defensive alignment as well. But Tristan Kruzenberry coming into this game, his season numbers not looking as good as he would like them. A 7.47 ERA over his 15 appearances, 7 of them starts. This is appearance number 16 and start number 8. He's totaled 47 innings pitched, and in those 47 innings, he has allowed 39 earned runs, struck out 25. He strikes out about one every two innings, but yesterday, or I should say his last start, he tied his season high with 4 strikeouts. First pitch here, it's swinging and a foul ball high and out of play down the right field line, and almost bounced back towards the group of Rafters intern and front office members who have come out to the game today looking to enjoy and root on the Rafters. Spoke with them a little bit before the game, and they seem like they're trying to bring the crowd here to Green Bay as Asher swings and fouls the second pitch back into the netting. Now an 0-2 count. Dorian Asher leading things off for the Green Bay Rockers. It's going to be Asher followed by Colin Helms and Eric Gion due up in the bottom of the first. 1-0 the lead for the Rafters over the Green Bay Rockers. Kruzenberry fires home but misses it in the turf. Spiked that one for a ball. It's now a 1-2 count. Behind Gion, batting 4-6 in the Rockers order, is Aiden Cooney, Jeremy DeLaMotta, and Peyton Mansfield. 1-2 count. On the way home, fouled back once again by Asher. He's staying alive at the plate. Behind Mansfield, batting 7-9, Stefan DiCorrado, Kaysen Consarinia, and Zage Lancaster. That's a look at the Rockers' starting lineup. 1-2 count coming home, and Asher wanted to go around, but watched it missed high for ball number 2. Now a 2-2 count for the leadoff batter of the order, pitch number 6. Of the plate appearance from Kruzenberry on home. Swing and a miss for strike number 3. Tristan Kruzenberry starts it the right way and gets his first K of the game. Brings up Colin Helms to the plate with the bases empty and one out in the bottom of the first. It's 1-0 the lead for Wisconsin Rapids. And Helms, the left-handed hitting catcher, it's a lefty-righty matchup between him and Tristan Kruzenberry. And Kruzenberry has become more of a starter as of late. Over the first stretch of the season, it was mostly out of the bullpen as the first pitch to Colin Helms misses high for ball number 1, a 1-0 count, but a bunch of movement around the team in the second half, and as players have moved in and out of the team, Kruzenberry's been a lockdown piece of the starting lineup as a high fly ball is hit down the right field line in foul territory. Does he have enough space? Gaz at the wall, not able to lean over and grab it. It lands in the grandstand, and now a 1-1 count to Helms. Colin Helms was part of the home run derby from the Rockers yesterday. They had 4 home runs in the game. Helms had a first inning home run. It was the second at bat of the game for the Rockers. Sent one over that right field wall. 1-1 count on the way home. In there, called for strike number 2. Now a 1-2 count. And Helms, that was his 4th home run of the season, despite a left-handed hitter here at Capital Credit Union Park with that right field wall pushed so close. 1-2 coming home, hit out towards left center field. Coming up on it, the left fielder Lindsay, and he will bring it in for out number 2. That's 2 up, 2 down in the first inning for Tristan Kruzenberry, and it brings up the right-handed hitting third baseman for the Rockers, Eric Gion. And Gion coming into this at bat, 6 home runs on the season. He's been able to hit for some power, and he likes drawing walks as well, but batting just .225 on the year, despite his .779 OPS. He bats third here, and his focus in this plate appearance is going to be to get on base any way possible, extend the inning. Yesterday went 1-for-4 in the game, had a double as his one hit. The other 3 plate appearances were all recorded outs. First pitch on the way home, in there for a strike, 0-1 the count. On deck, it's Aiden Cooney if it gets there. Righty-righty matchup, and Tristan Kruzenberry eyeing home Peyton Bryant, who is the starting catcher for the Rafters. Ground ball to the left side of the infield and gets on by the diving glove of Kareem Arusevic into left, and a 2-out single from Eric Gion. He is able to extend the inning. First base runner for the Rockers, and it brings up Aiden Cooney to the plate with a man on first and 2 away in the bottom of the first inning. Still a 1-0 Rafters lead, but Aiden Cooney, a dangerous batter, and he'll see what he can do. Aiden Cooney, yesterday, did not hit a home run despite a left-hander with power, but he did reach three times, went 2-for-3 from the plate, and also drew a walk. Swings and misses at the first pitch, though. Now an 0-1 count, and Rosenberry looking to deal here. And a right-hander locked in and hoping to stay that way. Man on first is Gion. Rosenberry nods home, brings the pitch. It's a grounder to the right side of the infield. Diving Bermudez, not able to get there. It gets into center field. Now throwing the ball back in, Beauchesne gets it to the shortstop, Matanaco, who stands on second base. But it's runners on the corners for the Rockers. Back-to-back singles for Green Bay has Aiden Cooney on first and Eric Gion on third. Brings up Jeremy DeLaMotta with two on and two out in the bottom of the first. Still 1-0 the Rafters lead. Over at first base for Wisconsin Rapids, Landon Gaz. At second base, it's Christian Bermudez. Shortstop is Matanaco, and third base is Kareem Arusevic. Pop up, that is fouled away and out of play. Now an 0-1 count to Jeremy DeLaMotta. DeLaMotta, right-handed hitting right fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and Krusenberry. 0-1 the count. Over on first base, you're watching for Cooney, but he's not taking off just yet. Still adjusting the gloves. That pitch high. Ball number one. 1-1 the count. DeLaMotta from Fairleigh Dickinson University and really struggling out the gates of the season, but hoping to turn it around as the 1-1 count. Gets a check swing. Did he go on? And yes, he did. 1-2 the count. DeLaMotta, kind of a 5/8 swing. Not quite 3/4, but did go across the plane, and not by just an inch. 1-2 the count, and runner taking off. Krusenberry doesn't notice him. Now brings the pitch home, and it's a swing and a miss for strike number three. Didn't matter. He might have gotten the stolen base before the pitch crossed home plate. But either way, that is going to end the first inning. So the Rockers, no runs on the two hits. There were no errors, and there were two left on base. We head to the top of the second. It's 1-0 Wisconsin Rapids here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
Pencils, check. Notebooks, check. Gym shoes, check. Safeway to and from practice? Back to school shopping for your teenager can be fun, but wondering how they'll get to practice when you're at work is not. Drive down to 8th Street Auto and find them a reliable and affordable set of wheels. Let the team help you through the pros and cons and needs of your driver so you can sleep better at night. 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids is here for the family and wants to help keep your young driver safe. Call or stop by today.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryant experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and service to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz. Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
It's a 1-0 Rafters lead in the top of the second as we welcome you back into Rafters Baseball on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, your play-by-play commentator, and well, the Rafters season is coming to a close, but still a few games left, and they'll have three more road games after this and just the one home game, and that is tomorrow night. So looking forward to a big crowd there. Hope to see you at the field and, well, hoping to get some momentum as the Rafters have a lead here. Looking to defend it as Peyton Bryant at the plate fouls the first one off. Now an 0-1 in count. Peyton Bryant, the leadoff batter in the top of the second. It'll be Bryant followed by River Lindsay and Christian Bermudez in the second. Bryant, right-handed hitting catcher. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and K.J. Ward. 0-1 the count, and Ward looking on home. He brings the leg up, fires to the plate, but misses high for ball number one. Now a 1-1 count, and Peyton Bryant from South Georgia State Community College. He enters this game batting .278 on the year and trying to bring in some new momentum to this team. He's got a .409 on base percentage as the 1-1 count misses inside. Now a 2-1 count, and that .409 OBP in just a few games, but he's been a solid spot in the order. Moved up to the number 6 spot after earlier batting 7th and a little bit 8th. 2-1 count, high for ball number 3, now a 3-1 count, and starting to find his groove at the plate. The right-handed hitter yesterday played third base in the lineup, but back behind home plate today. In the game yesterday, he had some quality ABs, although he went just 1-for-4 from the plate. Pitch coming home from Ward, and that one in there called for strike number 2. Bryant seemed to be watching all the way on that one. 3-2 the count now. Bryant singled back in the second inning yesterday and had an RBI later in the game on a ground out. Didn't strike out yesterday. Trying to avoid that today. 3-2 count from K.J. Ward coming home. That one outside, ball 4, and Bryant is back on base. He continues to get on base, and that has been his calling card as a Rafter. He has now reached in 6 consecutive games that he has played in after his debut was a pinch hit appearance where he only got 1 plate appearance. And he was not able to get on base with that one. So outside of that game, he's reached in every single game so far. River Lindsay up at the plate now. Left-handed hitting left fielder, and he swings and misses at the first pitch. And not timed up on that fastball quite right. Seemed a little late on the swing and tried to adjust the hands, but not able to make contact. Runner on first is Peyton Bryant, and River Lindsay debuted yesterday for the Rafters. In his second game today, the pitch misses high. Now a 1-1 count, and Lindsay, one of a couple new additions to yesterday's roster, along with Jackson Phillip. Both of them debuted. Phillip, a pitcher who came out of the bullpen, and River Lindsay, an outfielder. He's back in left field today as the off-speed pitch misses low and inside. Ball number 2. Now a 2-1 count. And Lindsay yesterday, 2-for-4 with a run and 2 stolen bases here in Green Bay. Quite a nice debut. 2-1 count on the way home, and that one high for ball number 3. Now a 3-1 count, and K.J. Ward, at the very least, is having his pitch count worked here in the second inning. Threw 19 pitches in the first, and here in the second inning, he's already up over double-digit pitches. That was his 10th pitch of the inning. And River Lindsay just holding off on swinging, and so was Peyton Bryant. So a 3-1 count, and a mound visit called by Colin Helms, who will go on for a 1-on-1 with Ward to make sure that they're on the same page. River Lindsay, a guy who comes to the Rafters from Rock Valley College, native of Muskego, Wisconsin. Left-handed hitting sophomore from there, and 6'1", 205. Trying to show off the stuff offensively. Runner still on first base and nobody out in the top of the second. And the pitch on the way home flips the inner part of the plate. Now a full count to Lindsay. The Rafters have been out hit by the Rockers. They had 2 singles in that first inning, but the Rafters able to drive in the only run of the game. Bryant leaning over there on first base, 3-2 the count, and Bryant not taking off, but a swing and a foul ball goes toward the on-deck circle where Christian Bermudez is taking hacks. So still a 3-2 count to River Lindsay. It's been 3 straight full counts for the Rafters. Landon Gaz had a full count before popping out, and then Bryant drew a full count walk. 7th pitch of the plate appearance to River Lindsay with the full count. Pitch on the way home, and that one inside, ball 4, back-to-back walks, and the Rafters have 2 runners aboard. certainly threatening here in the second inning, and it brings up Christian Bermudez to the plate with runners on first and second. On second, it's Peyton Bryant. On first, it's River Lindsay. And Christian Bermudez returning to the lineup. It's been a little bit since he had played. Of course, he got drilled in the face with a fastball just a couple games ago back on July 31st and really swelled up the facial area as a breaking ball misses high for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Bermudez right-handed hitting second baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and Ward. 1-0 lead for the Rafters over the Rockers in the top of the second. Ward looking home, now looks back to second where Bryant stands. Brings the pitch on the way, and that one outside for ball number two. Now a 2-0 count. And Bermudez, in that game against Lakeshore, he of course had to be taken out of the game after getting hit in the face by the fastball. And he's been held out the past couple of games, but finally good to return, although he is wearing a face mask as that one misses low for ball number three, a 3-0 count. The face mask, I think, adds to the fit, I would say. The dark gray helmet with the cranberry red jerseys on the road, also the light gray pants. 3-0 count to Bermudez, and I assume he'll be taking all the way. He does. It misses low. Three straight walks to lead off the second inning, and that last one on four pitches. And with that, first baseman Aiden Cooney and third baseman Eric Gion will both go to the mound to have a chat with KJ Ward. And now the Rockers sending their pitching coach out to see if they can calm him down. Not the type of accuracy you're used to seeing from KJ Ward, but the Rafters certainly doing